Next time you're over in the fellowship hall, take a look at the beans and rice barrel. We filled up one that's about 400 pounds. And if you look at it today, we've almost filled up a second one. Just praise God for that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, to the part where Jesus is crucified, Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, beginning with verse 32. Luke 23, beginning with verse 32. This is Passover week. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus does the Last Supper. During this week, Jesus is arrested. He's put on trial. Some people believe he was arrested on Friday. Some people believe he was arrested on Wednesday. That's an interesting discussion for another time. And then next Sunday, he rises from the dead on the first day of the week. So this is what some people like to call Holy Week. We want to talk about the cross this Sunday and the resurrection next Sunday. Someone said the cross is the only ladder high enough to touch the threshold of heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you have to go by way of the old rugged cross. Billy Graham said one time, to neglect the cross of Christ is to ignore the eternity toward which we are all moving. This is the height of madness. It's interesting, in the bulletin this week, Betty put a story by Billy Graham about the cross on the blown-away cathedral in Macau, China. I found that same story this week because I thought about In the Cross of Christ I Glory. And I looked that up in a hymn storybook, and it's about the author and how he wrote it, but the book is edited by Cliff Barrows, who was Billy Graham's music director, as you know. And so Billy and I got it from the same book, okay? But anyway, Sir John Bowring, he died in 1872. He was an educator, a writer, an ambassador. By the time he was 16 years old, he had taught himself 5 different languages. And he wrote 36 books. In 1854, he was appointed the British governor of Hong Kong, China. So as he was traveling around China, he went to the seaport of Macau, which had been a Portuguese colony. And up on the mountain overlooking Macau, the Portuguese had built a beautiful cathedral, but it had been destroyed by a typhoon. The only thing left was one wall with a big, tall cross on it. And as he sailed into that harbor, and as he looked on the mountain, and he saw that cross, to him, it was just a tremendous experience, a tremendous view, because he was a Christian. And he wrote this poem. When the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way, from the cross, the radiant streaming adds new luster to the day. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. The issue of the cross, the focus on the cross. Now, I want to talk about the three men on the three crosses on Calvary that day. Look with me at Luke 23, verse 32. And there went also two other malefactors, other gospels called them thieves, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, skip over to verse 39. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other one answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The first thief, the one who died in his sins because he never believed in Jesus. In fact, if you read Matthew, the both thieves joined in the crowd at laughing at Jesus and mocking Jesus. And then one thief changed his attitude, the other did not. The thief, the first thief, the one on the left hand, never accepted Jesus as the Savior of the world. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's Luke 13:3. And some people have the idea that God grades on a curve. You know, if the good outweighs the bad, then I'm going to make it into heaven. You know, I'm 70% good and 30% bad, I'm on my way. 80% good, 20% bad, I'm on my way. Now, there's a problem with that because God doesn't grade on a curve. If I take 99 gallons of pure spring water and pour in 1 gallon of raw sewage, would you drink it? You know, it's 99% pure, but you wouldn't drink it because it's 100% contaminated. And that's the way God looks at us. God has a standard, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, and not one of us is perfect. I debated using this illustration this morning, but it's rather homey, and it's about me, so I'll use it. Eileen and I went to Gatorland one day, and we were going through Gatorland, and I thought it would be fun to hold the alligator in my lap and have my picture taken. So I'm holding this alligator in my lap, and what does the alligator do? You guessed it. Right on my leg. And the lady taking the picture said, well, it's mostly water. And I said, well, it usually is. Wasn't the water part I was worried about, guys. You know, are you 90% good or are we 100% sinners? Boy, that was Animal Kingdom that day. I also got spit on by a llama, all right? So it was an exciting day at SeaWorld. But yeah, we are sinners. We need a Savior. We need our sins paid for by someone that can pay for them. There's a problem with sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody. There's the phenomenon of judgment. We're all going to meet God one day. We're all going to have to answer to God one day. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And boy, do they. You know, I listened to Adrian Rogers this week on the radio, and he was talking about people that go fishing to drink beer. And now, my dad fished. He wouldn't allow drinking in his boat. He said, we're here to fish, not drink beer. And a lot of people wouldn't fish with my dad because that's what they go out to do. They go out to drink beer, not fish. But Adrian said, here's this guy on TV. It's a beer commercial. He catches this big fish, and then he pops that beer can, and he says, this is as good as it gets. And he said, you know, he's right. It goes downhill from there. This is as good as it gets because, you know, you can have all kind of accidents. You can have all kind. You can become an alcoholic. 1 out of 7 people that take a drink are going to become an alcoholic in today's society. You know, that commercial is absolutely true. That is the best it ever gets, okay? Goes downhill from there. The phenomenon of judgment, we reap what we sow. Problem of sin, the phenomenon of judgment, the pain of hell. Have you had this news flash? Hell is hell. Hell is hell, people, and we need to warn people that there is a hell, and they're going to go to it if they don't accept Jesus. Well, aren't you afraid you're going to offend them? Aren't you afraid you're going to run off? Where are we going to run them to? Hell number 2, hell number 3, they're already on their way to hell. Where are we going to run them to, people? They're on their way to hell. Now, people say, oh, hell, God wouldn't do that. Well, actually, hell makes perfect sense. You have someone with a deadly disease. We don't let them run around and infect everybody else. We put them in a hospital. And that's what hell is. Hell is the hospital for people with a disease of sin. When people are dead, we bury them. We don't let the dead body hang out. That's a source of disease, infection, bacteria. We bury that body. It's also a health concern. in our communities. In fact, if you do it the wrong way, they cite you for improper disposal of a dead body. Hell is the cemetery of heaven, where the dead in Christ, where the dead without Christ are buried. And then we don't let crazy people run around. Well, sometimes we do. But we're not supposed to let crazy people run around. They're a threat to themselves. They're a threat to other people. We put them in insane asylums. You know the old poem, "Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, so am I." Yeah, that was my brother, okay? He was paranoid schizophrenic and died in a 16-hour gun battle with the Seminole County Sheriff's Department because he wouldn't take his meds. Hell is the insane asylum of heaven, where people who are insane spiritually refuse to acknowledge there's a God and refuse to acknowledge that God has loved us enough to send Jesus to die on the cross. It's a judgment. You know, the biggest picture of judgment in the Bible is Sodom and Gomorrah. God saw what was going on in that city. He gave people a chance. They rejected God. God wiped them out. Sodom and Gomorrah is talked about 22 different times in the Bible because it's a tremendous picture that God does judge sin. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem that said, "Though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness he grinds all." Decision Magazine had an editorial one time, and it made this comment: "Education has filled the minds of people with facts, information, and theory, but it has neglected to tell them how to live." This is the information age, and at least a lot of the students I know are more ignorant than ever. How are you ignorant in the information age? You don't try to learn anything. You can look it all up on your smartphone. Everyone has his own place here and hereafter. Everyone makes his own place here and hereafter. Everyone finds his own place here and hereafter. Everyone feels it is his own place when he gets there. George W. Truett, the great pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. He was pastor there from 1898 to 1946, 48 years. And then Criswell took over after him. George W. Truett said, "There is a point where God and man have to meet. People meet God either in grace or they meet God in judgment. And at that point, both are revealed as they are." One thief on the cross died in his sin. One person on a cross died for sins, and that was Jesus. God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18. "And he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Alexander Wright White, the great Scottish preacher, said he had a dream one time. It was Easter time, and he was thinking about the trial of Jesus, and in his dream, there was this Roman soldier whipping Jesus. Jesus was tied to the post, and he was whipping Jesus, and in his dream, he ran up, grabbed the soldier, turned him around, and it was him. It was him in the Roman soldier outfit. And he said, "God showed me in that dream, yes, it was me that punished Jesus." You know, we sing that song, and Barbara sings it. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Yes, we were, every one of us. We were there, and it was because of us that Jesus died. There's a grace acrostic, G-R-A-C-E. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Robert Coleman, that wrote one of the famous books on evangelism, he wrote The Master Plan of Evangelism, but he has an illustration in one of his books. A little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor had explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance for recovery was a transfusion from someone who had previously beat the disease. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. Would you give your blood to Mary? The doctor asked. Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. And then he smiled and he said, "Sure, for my sister, I'd do it." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room. Mary, pale and thin, Johnny, robust and healthy. Neither spoke, but when their eyes met, Johnny grinned at her. As the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile faded, and he watched the blood go through the clear tube to his sister. When it was almost over, he lifted up his head and looked at the doctor, and he said, "Doctor, when do I die?" Only then did the doctor realize why Johnny had hesitated, why his lip had trembled, and when he'd agreed to donate his blood. He thought giving his blood to his sister meant giving up his own life. In that brief moment, he made his great decision. Fortunately, Johnny didn't have to die to save his sister, but each one of us have a condition much more serious than Mary's, and it did require Jesus to give up not just his blood, but give up his life for each one of us. What a great story. The three people on Calvary, one died in sin, one died for sin, and one died to sin. The other thief believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let me ask you a question. How do you take a ball away from a mean dog? Answer, you don't. Try to take a ball away from a mean dog, you're probably going to get bit. How do you take a ball away from a mean dog? You offer him something better. You know, you get this big juicy steak and you put it down there next to him, and pretty soon he'll turn loose that ball because he wants that steak. You know, how do you take a ball away from a mean dog? You offer him something better. What does God do because he loves us? God offers us something better. You know, we talk about get saved, get saved, get saved, but sometimes we forget, what are we saved from and what are we saved to when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior? Well, first of all, we're saved from judgment. We're going to have to give an account one day, every one of us. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're saved from guilt. You know, 25% of all Americans are on antidepressants. They're depressed. They feel guilty. They can't sleep. Now, don't raise your hand, all right? I don't want to know who's on antidepressants this morning. Probably not one-fourth, okay? I look at my students at Polk State. Every 2 hours, someone between 18 and 24 kills themselves. During the time we've been here at church this morning, someone has committed suicide because they were so upset with their life. We are saved from crime. Look at all the crime. Look what Jesus can do when people accept him as their personal Savior. Last year, Bill Culbertson came for the Gideons. He's the president of the Gideon camp. And he read a letter written by the son of Sam Killer, David Berkowitz. He murdered people in the 1970s. If you remember The Son of Sam, if you remember Spike Lee's movie, The Summer of Sam, people were murdered. He was a Satanist. He belonged to the Process Church of the Final Judgment. And in that letter, he wrote to the Gideons. He said that a Gideon came to the prison where he was. He's life in prison in New York State. Gave him a Gideon Bible, and he started reading it, and he got saved. The Son of Sam Killer, a Satanist who murdered people for Satan, accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You see, we are saved from judgment, we are saved from guilt, we are saved from depression, we are saved from crime, we are saved from sin. What are we saved to? That's the good news. I mean, that's good news, but this is better news, okay? When God saves us, he pardons us. "I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea, and I will remember them no more." He gives us peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us purpose. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. If you have a pulse, God has a plan. I love saying that. I have a pulse. Yesterday it was normal. I'm grateful for that. God does have a purpose for us. John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. God has power to help us live every day. Some days are easier than others. Some days are more fun than others. Some days are no fun at all. If you're like me, you have good days and bad days. But God gives us the power to get through every day. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, Acts 1:8. As many as received him, John 1:12, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. C.E.M. Jod, who was a famous Christian philosopher, said, unless God is back of everything, you cannot find meaning in anything. Three crosses on Calvary. One died in sin, one died for sin, one died to sin. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Billy Graham talked about his San Francisco crusade. There was a man living in San Francisco that was an atheist. He was a university graduate. He had become an alcoholic. His home had broken up. His business was failing. He went to the Billy Graham crusade to make fun of everything. And, he walked in and sat down, and people stood up to sing a hymn, and he said, boy, is this fake. Boy, is this phony. George Beverly Shea got up and sang a solo, and he said, boy, what a hypocrite. And they took up an offering, and he saw the offering plates go by, and he said, man, what a racket. And then Billy Graham got up and read his text for the evening. It was Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Dr. Graham said that during the sermon, God started working on this man's heart. He was convicted of his sin. He was converted. He later wrote to Billy Graham organization, said, that night I lost my taste for alcohol. He said, I haven't had a drink since that night. He said, my family is back together. He said, God is prospering my business, and we are having regular Bible study as a family in my home, all because God changed my heart and Jesus saved me. That's what we offer people with the cross of Christ in 2018 in America and the world. We offer them to be saved from stuff, but to be saved to stuff through the cross of Jesus. And if you've never made that decision, you need to. We're going to sing hymn number 134. Betty's going to come to the organ. We're going to sing hymn number 134. Jesus paid it all.